Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Innal hamdalillah wassalatu wassalamu ala asyrafil anbiya wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala wa ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters, welcome to this congregation of Eid al-Adha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our ibadat and accept our sacrifice, which we will do inshallah after the salah, and to reward you from the best of the best in this dunya wal akhirah inshallah. As we what we will do just now is a quick reminder, and after that I will explain the method of the Eid salah, which we all know, but since we do this only two times a year, obviously you have a right to forget, so we remind that. And then we will do the salah and then the Arabic khutbah, which is the opposite of the Jummah order. In Jummah, the khutbah is first and then the salah. In Eid, the salah is first and then the khutbah, inshallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. As we are gathered here today to listen to this khutbah of Eid al-Adha, I wish to remind myself and you of the spirit of the sacrifice that we are about to make, inshallah. Today, the best ibadah that you and I can possibly do is to do the udhiyah, the qurbani, the sacrifice. There is nothing that we can do which supersedes that or which is better than that. Umar, sit down. There is nothing that supersedes that or which is better than that. The best ibadah is udhiyah, a qurbani. Now, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, so Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived in Medina for 10 years and every year he slaughtered an animal. He did not go to Makkah to slaughter it, he slaughtered it in Medina. The reason I'm saying this is because the last few days I've seen all kinds of WhatsApp messages floating around from people who, I don't want to say anything about them, but creating all kinds of unnecessary confusion. Alhamdulillah, what, as far as the qurbani is concerned, what you have been doing, and what, alhamdulillah, in this city I know, what you have seen your parents doing, what you have seen your grandparents doing, is all correct. Alhamdulillah, they were on the right path and you are on the right path, stick to that. Don't go wandering off here and there because somebody suddenly decides that this is to be done in a different way and so on and so on. So Rasulullah ﷺ lived in Makkah, in Medina for 10 years. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said that he sacrificed for this Eid every single year. And this is a Sahih Hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad. Zaid bin Arqam radiallahu anhu reports that the Sahaba asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the udhiyah? What is the sacrifice? What is the qurbani? He said, it is the way of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. They asked him, what reward is there in it for us? He replied, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is one reward for every hair of the animal that you sacrifice. And may Allah bless the Sahaba, they used to ask such detailed questions. So somebody said, and they asked him, and for the wool, what if I am sacrificing an animal which does not have hair but has wool? So it's a sheep and not a goat. He said, for the wool, they asked him for the wool. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there is one reward for every strand of that wool. And this is again in Imam Musnad Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah and Sahih Hadith. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the son of Adam alayhi salam does not do any action on the day of sacrifice which is more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the sacrifice of animals. And this is Tirmidhi and Sunan ibn Majah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, whoever can afford to offer a sacrifice, whoever can afford to do the qurbani but does not do so, let him not come to our place of worship. He said, let him not come for salah. Now you know what is the meaning of that. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah. And these are also Sahih Hadith. Point to remember, One of the questions that people ask, and this is also one of the questions that was floating around, why should we sacrifice an animal? Why can't we give that same money in charity and so on? The point is, you want to give the money in charity, most welcome. Give that money in charity, give 5,000 times that money in charity. But the udhiya is a particular ibadah. It's like somebody saying, what is the point of going to Hajj? Why don't I give the money in ibadah, in charity? By all means, give the money in charity. But going to Hajj is a specific ibadah. It's like somebody saying, collecting zakat, or saying, here is my zakat money. I will just give it in charity to whoever I like. No, there are usul for the spending of zakat money. So zakat money, spending zakat money is not social work. It has to be spent according to the usul, according to the rules that refer to and which guide the spending of zakat money. So the ibadah cannot be substituted by something else on your own. If you are doing that, then this is total and complete ignorance. My brothers and sisters, we are called Muslims because Ibrahim alayhi salam named us Muslims by his statement and his actions. I want to remind myself and you that the meaning of being Muslim is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu without question, without argument, without reservation or hesitation. We submit without question, we do not submit without understanding. We submit without question because we understand. So don't confuse the two. It's not blind faith. There's no blind faith in Islam. Faith is after understanding. Once we have understood who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, then we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we understand who is Allah. To submit joyfully and eagerly, that is the symbol of our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that trust is what earns His pleasure jalla jalaluhu. And that is why the iconic symbol of being a Muslim is the sujood, the sajda, a state of total helplessness and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reason why the sajda is haram to anyone other than Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the insan, He gave izzat to the insan. And karama bani Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have given izzat to the people of, to the children of Adam alayhi salam. And therefore, to humble yourself before another creature is haram. We are supposed to humble ourselves only and only to the Creator, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The life of Ibrahim alayhi salam is a symbol of all these things. The reward of tawakkul is the nusra of Allah, who is not subject to any of His laws. My brothers and sisters, remember that tawakkul comes only and only from obedience. You cannot live a life of disobedience and expect your heart to be filled with nur of tawakkul. The whole journey of Hajj is a reminder for us about obeying, not because it is convenient or pleasant or even logical, but because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what He, Jalla Jalaluhu, told us to do. And when I say He told us to do, who actually taught us the arkan of Hajj? Are they there in the Quran? No. The arkan of Hajj were taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told, he said to the Sahaba, take from me the manasik of Hajj. Khudu anni manasikakum. Learn from me, take from me the manasik of your manasik, meaning the rituals of Hajj. And that is also one of the many proofs of the importance and authenticity and criticality of the Sunnah in following and staying with Islam. So we put on the ihram, which is neither graceful nor comfortable. We make sa'i, commemorating what our mother Hajar alayhi salam did. She did it for a reason. For us, Allah made her action the reason. We stand in Arafah on the day of Hajj instead of being at the Kaaba. We pick up stones in Muzdalifah and we throw them at the Jamarat in Mina. Not one of these rituals is either reasonable or logical. But then, love is neither reasonable nor logical. Love is to leave all reason and logic for the only one who is worthy of being loved. And that is why Allama Iqbal rahmatullah alayhi said, Subah azal ye mujh se kaha Jibreel ne, jo aqal ka ghulam ho wa dil na kar qubool. The spirit of udhiya, qurbani, is submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Submission, when the very action of submission may well be painful to you. When submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may mean denying yourself something that you find pleasant. When submission may seem to be a source of loss or even harmful to the one who looks at it with eyes blinded by the dunya. But to the one who sees it with the eyes of taqwa, as Ismail alayhi salam did, he will see the blessing behind it. He will see the beauty of the fulfillment of the purpose of our very existence, which is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question, to seek His pleasure above all else, and to be prepared to sacrifice our dearest possessions, actions and desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَ مِنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is neither their meat nor the blood that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, but it is your taqwa and piety that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The purpose of qurbani, the purpose of udhiya, is to inculcate the spirit of submission, of sacrificing our personal desires to win the pleasure of Allah and to become among those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called al-muhsinun. It was the blessed sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to advise the women, especially on Eid day. And in keeping with that sunnah, I would like to advise my sisters in Islam that the example of Hajar alayhi salam is an excellent example for them to emulate. It's an excellent example also for the men to emulate. Hajar alayhi salam, historians tell us, was the African servant slave of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sarah alayhi salam, who they estimate lived between 1930 BC and 1840 BC. And who Ibrahim alayhi salam married, and from whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Ismail alayhi salam. Here was a woman who on the one hand was obedient enough to her husband to accept the fact that he was leaving her and her infant son in an uninhabited valley on the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then she had enough tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to know that if he ordered this, then he would care for them. She allowed her husband to leave and go on his way, knowing that he was doing the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah had ordered. There's an author called Ali Shariati, who's written a lovely book on Hajj. And in this book, he talks about Hajar alayhi salam's place in the Islamic tradition. And he says that all of the Hajj is joined or made in her memory. He chose a black slave woman, the most humiliated of his creatures, to be the mother of great prophets of God and manifestations of the most magnificent values which God creates. The paradox, of course, my brothers and sisters, is that women continue to be excluded and discriminated against in highly horrifying rates, especially in Muslim countries and also in Muslim societies, even though the country itself might not be a Muslim country. Social indicators and gender statistics from the United Nations reveal that women in the Arab region are on the average more disadvantaged economically, socially and politically than women in any other part of the world. It's a matter of shame for us that we have to read these things. Then when her husband had left Hajar alayhi salam, she did not sit idle but made effort to see how she could secure the safety of herself and her son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked that action of hers of running from Safa to Marwa and back to Safa so much that he made it a rukun, a pillar of Hajj and Umrah. Only then did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send Jibreel alayhi salam to bring forth Zamzam for them. Then Hajar alayhi salam negotiated an agreement with the people of Jurhum that came there, ensuring that she and her son retained proprietary rights over Zamzam, which was the main resource at that place. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does when you are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put yourself in that place. Try and understand this in the context of tribal Arab society of the time. We are talking about the sardars of the people of Jurhum who came from Yemen. They are obeying a black African slave woman who is alone. Why? This doesn't happen. What would in the normal circumstances, what would have happened? They would have pushed her aside and they would have used the water. Who's to stop them? She has no power, she has no authority, she's got no army, she's got no weapons, she's got nothing. She doesn't even have lineage and so on and so forth. But they obey her. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put her izzah in their hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put her haybat in their hearts. And so the great shuyukh and the great tribal leaders of the tribe of Jurhum, they obeyed Hajar alayhi salam. They took care of her. They participated in the upbringing of Ismail alayhi salam, and he married one of their girls. And this is the issue of what happens when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Ismail alayhi salam grew up, his mother put the spirit of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love for his father in the heart of the little boy, such that when the father came back, he was not a stranger to the boy. What are we talking about here in modern terms? You're talking about single parenthood. You're talking about a single parent bringing up a child with absolutely no contact whatsoever with the father of the boy. Yet see the kind of job that she does. My brothers and sisters, then when the father came, Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam, he related his dream to his son. The son immediately accepted the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question. And all this happened despite the fact that until that time, the father had not taken any direct part in the upbringing of the child. Ismail alayhi salam was the product of a single mother. But when that mother has iman and is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides and protects and helps. It's not a question of how many parents, but what kind of parents. Society, I remind myself and you that society is neither corrupted nor improved by children. It is corrupted by parents of those children who then complain about the children, conveniently forgetting their own role in their upbringing. I remind you, my brothers and sisters, please take that role of parenting seriously if you want children who will be a source of blessing to you and not children whose actions will light the fire in your grave. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the result of such an upbringing, a good upbringing to create muttaqeen as children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this encounter between father and son, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat of Surah Safat, and when he, the son, was old enough to walk with him, which means how old is he? Little boy. When he's old enough to walk with him, he said to him, Ibrahim alayhi salam, O my son, I have seen in a dream that I am slaughtering you in sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look in your heart. Fanzur. Now usually the translation for these people say, think. What do you think? But the word think is nowhere there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Fanzur maza tara. Look, what do you see? Hey, just think about this conversation. So he looked and what did he see? He said, oh my father, do that which you are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insha'Allah, you will find me a person of sabr among the sabireen. Now just think about this conversation. What kind of conversation is that? It's a conversation between a father who is probably 80 plus and a son who is probably less than 10. And the father is saying, look, what do you see? Where did Ismail alayhi salam get this upbringing when the father had no hesitation about asking a question like this and the son had no trouble understanding that question? You know, you must do this as an experiment. Many of us have children who are under the age of 10, or you have grandchildren and so on. Just ask one of them. Look in your heart, what do you see? He'll say, look in your head what you see, because you look like you've gone crazy or something. What kind of a question is this? But what is this question? Just think about it. That's why I say whenever you read the Quran, reflect. It's not a question of, stories. Reflect and think. Put yourself in that position and say that what kind of a thing are we hearing? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think also this, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing this whole thing in so much of detail? What is the need? Ibrahim alayhi salam went there, he talked to his son, he asked this question, son gave this answer, so on. Why all this detail? Because that detail is important. That detail is important, that detail is guidance for us. Now, who brought this son up in a way where this son could have this conversation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked so much that he made it part of Quran? This is recited in Salah. You are reciting what? You are reciting what a 10-year-old boy said or under 10-year-old boy said in Salah. This is your ibadah. That is the level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to his obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not just ensure that the memory remains, but that the memory is remembered at the highest level of izzah. My sisters, your role as a mother is simply the most critically important role that you can ever have. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that role to you, not to the man. I'm not saying this to make you happy. That is the fact. Allah gives all the important roles to the women. So wrap your mind around that. Try and do that. And then give that role the importance that it deserves. Motherhood is not about feeding the child's belly. It's about feeding the child's soul. And for that, you must first have the food. You must know how to cook the food for the soul, and that's not chicken soup. It won't simply happen because you are a woman. You have to work hard. You have to make the effort to learn if you want to teach your son or daughter, who will not only be a credit to you, but a means of thawabul jariyah when you are gone. In plain language, it means to give them twice the time and half the money that you give them now. I quote from something which a dear friend of mine sent to me 2 days ago. And this is from a lecture of one of the shuyukh. He said, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not poor like Abu Dharr or Abu Huraira radiallahu anhumah. But he was better than them. He wasn't perpetually tortured like Khabbab ibn al-Arat or Bilal bin Rabah or Sumayya radiallahu anhum or Yasir, her husband radiallahu anhu, but he was better than them. He wasn't severely injured in battle like Talha or Abu Ubaidah or Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhum, but he was better than them. He was not martyred. He was not shaheed like Hamza or Umar or Osman or Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in, but he was better than them. So what was the secret that made Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu better than everyone? Bakr ibn al-Abdullah al-Muzayni rahimahullah says, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not precede them due to offering a lot of prayer and fasting, but because of something that settled in his heart. And this is also one of the aqwal of Imam Malik. It is the actions of the heart that you see, and that's what made his faith outweigh the faith of the entire ummah till the day of judgment. The faith of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is more than the faith of everyone who comes after him till the day of judgment together. We learn that faith, iman, is actions of the heart combined with the statement of the tongue and actions of the limb. We know this is how you enter Islam. It is tasdeeq bil qalb wa iqrar bil lisan wa amal bil arkan. Believing it in the heart, saying it with your tongue, and acting according to it. But we ignore the actions of the heart, even though we know that it is the essence and the core. Every act of worship has an essence and a physical manifestation. The manifestation of salah is standing and ruku and sujood. But the essence is khushu. It is humility, it is reverence, it is concentration, khushu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The manifestation of fasting is to withhold from everything that breaks the fast from sunrise to sunset. But the essence of fasting is taqwa. The manifestation of hajj is the tawaf and sa'i and standing in Arafah and so on. But the essence is honoring the sha'ar of Allah, the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The manifestation of dua is raising the hands and praising Allah and requesting Him for this or that. But the essence of dua is the brokenness and the need of Allah. It is only when the slave goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely and totally helpless and broken that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his dua. Allah does not accept dua from somebody who stands there conscious of his so-called strength and his so-called power and his so-called wealth. No. We have to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understanding what Allah said. Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara ilallah. Kullu fuqara. Nahnu kulluna fuqara. Every single one of us is faqir before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what we think we have actually belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The manifestation of dhikr is saying Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah and so on. But the essence is the remembrance of Allah and the reverence of Allah and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. For on the day of judgment, it is the hearts that will be exposed. And only those who come with a qalbun salim. The series of my khutbahs on qalbun salim. A heart which is serene, a heart which is repentant. And that person only will be saved. Illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. Only that person will be saved on the day of judgment. And let us therefore then remember to monitor our hearts as severely and sincerely and seriously as we try to monitor our actions. This is at least my husn zan. And remember that in this world we traverse distances with our feet. But in the hereafter, distances are only traversed by our hearts. My sisters and my brothers, I would like to remind myself and you that the nusra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to only those who choose to be obedient to Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for them from sources that they could not imagine. But all that is only for the muttaqun, the obedient, not for the fasiqun, the rebellious. Selective obedience is disobedience. When you pick and choose what you will obey, you are not obeying something else. So stop fooling yourself. You are consciously choosing to disobey. You are playing with fire, so choose your actions consciously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجَهُ وَيَرْضُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah said, the one who has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a way out of problems for that person and provides from him in a manner beyond all expectations, from sources that he could not imagine. And for the one who has tawakkul on Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes sufficient for that person. My brothers and sisters in Islam, in the kind of world we live in today, to build a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seems to be increasingly more important. Since you can only give what you have, your responsibility is twofold. You need to build a relationship for yourself as well as to create an environment at home where this concern is voiced and worked on. Remember, you can only give what you have. Only a lighted lamp can light other lamps and illuminate. So seek your connection with Allah and remember that when the breath is stuck in the throat, a time that will come upon every one of us, man or woman, it is only that connection which will help. All your and my money and power and friends and family will not be able to do one whit to help us even to breathe more easily. They cannot make you live and they cannot even help you to die easily. So leave them and obedience to them and pleasing them by displeasing Allah. And cling to the obedience of Allah no matter who is displeased. Remember that only one who is displeased with the obedience of Allah is Shaitan, who sometimes looks like a human being. ignore him and recall the examples of the Anbiya who we follow. In conclusion, my brothers and sisters, I would like to remind you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask you which day you fasted for Yawmul Arafah or which day you celebrated Eidul Adha. But He will ask you what you did to split the Ummah. So beware of falling into the trap of self-righteousness in imagining that you have a direct line to Allah and that He is talking to you directly. Let us remember that to have a difference of opinion is not only permissible, but it is a sign of concern that our scholars and the Aima have for the Deen. But to use that difference of opinion as a way to attack others and pronounce judgments on them and to split the Ummah into groups is the work of Shaitan. Stay away from such people, admonish them and ignore them and do not follow them. I would like to wish all of you a wonderful Eid al-Adha and request you in the middle of your enjoyment of eating good food and meeting relatives and friends to spare a little time to remember and remind each other of the true spirit of sacrifice of Qurbani and to remember and remind each other of Muslims in other parts of the world who do not have the means or the safety to celebrate this Eid. I want to remind you that many such people live right here amongst us. Let us go and look for them and bring a smile to their faces and ensure that they have a good full meal today and that their children wear good clothes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with you and accept your worship. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.